on 882 6PR. This is Peter Bell.
It's 20 past one. We're with Portia Genasi from Friedman, Lurie, Singh and D'Angelo. We're talking family law issues. 9221 882 is the number to call. If you've got a question, we've got a stack of calls to get to. So to Frank in Savile Grove. G'day, Frank.
How are you going, Peter?
Good. Fire away, mate.
Well, I've just broken up with my wife over the last 5 days.
Yep.
Found out she was having an affair with her best friend's husband. And we're both still in the house. We're in a rental house. I'm going to stay in the house. I'm trying to get her out of the house, but she's on the lease. Don't know where to go. Don't know what to do.
Okay. We spoke a little bit about this last week, Frank. First of all, sorry to hear that you're in this situation. Portia, what should Frank be considering now?
Frank, there's a lot of considerations. I would obviously be talking to your landlord about the next step in terms of dealing with the lease. And obviously I would be possibly contact. Do you have children, Frank?
Yes, I do, yes.
Yeah. I would also be contacting a lawyer to try and find out what's the next step, because we've just been talking about children in terms of what is the next step for you and your wife to deal with the children. And obviously property settlements, because I'm not sure whether you've got any other property somewhere else.
No, it's only a rental. It's only a rental. I've already spoken to the real estate and they've basically said that she's got to sign it over to me and she's refusing to sign.
Okay.
So from what she's been saying to me, she's entitled to stay in the house, so she's staying in there.
I would suggest without going and knowing all the circumstances here, Frank, it might be time for you to get legal advice in that situation. If she's the only name on the lease, I'd suggest that you need to get some help there with regard to what the next step would be. Sorry we couldn't be of more help, but that would be the advice at this stage. Thanks for your call, Frank, and all the best to Gary in Forestfield.
Yeah, hi, Peter and Portia. Yeah, my son's actually been to court and had a ruling on access to the children. They're both 7 and 8. And the respondent is just refusing to go along with the court orders.
Okay. When were these court orders made?
On the 25th of February.
So
we're due back in court on the 24th of April.
I would bring it up on that occasion with the magistrate or the registrar that your friend has not been able to see the children, hopefully the magistrate can give you some direction on the next steps. I mean, I would advise you to go get some legal advice
we've had legal advice, yeah.
So you've got a lawyer working for you currently?
Yeah. But I just don't understand how a respondent can just ignore a court order.
Does it happen frequently, Portia?
It does. It does happen frequently. However, it depends on the breach. So if it's a minor breach, then it's off. You know, it's not that important. But if it's a...
He just ignores total access. My son cannot have any access to his children. He just ignores any access.
Okay, then I guess given that it's the 24th of April, that would be the appropriate time to air these issues, Gary, and that would be the recommendation, I guess, for your friend to air those issues on the 24th of April. Good luck with that. To Tony in Herne Hill. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, g'day, Peter and Portia. You were speaking earlier about partners bringing on allegations of hypothetically saying child abuse, and they've been putting that before the courts to possibly get an advantage. My question is, if the alleged partner was then found to be to have falsified these allegations, What kind of penalties are then put on to the alleged partner?
Okay, what I'll have to correct you in the first place, it's not about who's telling the truth and who's lying. So the family court is not there to consider that. It's just to consider whether the allegation has been substantiated or unsubstantiated. So if DCP or the family court has found it to be unsubstantiated, then they just start dealing with the matter through that way. So it's not a court that deals with criminal or those sort of penalties at all.
I think what Tony is saying, though, is if someone makes some allegations and then the DCP are involved and there is found that they are totally unsubstantiated, they cannot be substantiated in any way, are there any ramifications for the person who made the allegations?
Not if it's through the family court, as I've said, because it's not a criminal court per se. And so they can't do any penalties, because it's about... The problem with sexual abuse allegations is that you don't know whether it happened or whether it didn't happen, because it's usually just two people in a room. So it's about whether or not there is enough information to say it actually happened or... No, it didn't happen in the circumstances. So you can't then turn around and make accusations that this person totally lied about it, because then you don't know, you don't have proof.
Yeah.
Then that in that circumstance, you'd have to take it to the magistrate's court to bring criminal charges.
Okay. Thank you, Tony, for your call. Hopefully that clarified that. To Lyndon in Banksia Grove. Hi, Lyndon. No, Lyndon has gone. If you've got a question for Portia, 9221882 is the number to call. Just some traffic news quickly from main roads. Kwinana Freeway southbound at Armidale Road, Jandakot, the right lane is blocked. There's been a car crash. So just repeating that, Kwinana Freeway southbound at Armidale Road in Jandakot, the right lane is blocked. So be aware of that. There's probably going to be delays, and be careful if you're in the area also. Portia, just wanted to ask you, in the case of a divorce, what rights do both parents have to an input, say, into the schooling, access to medical records, dental records, those sorts of things, with the child in question, that you know, your child? Do you still have great, is there still a mechanism there where you have good input into that?
Oh yes, most certainly. So there's something called shared parental responsibility. It doesn't mean equal time, but it means that you can make decisions about the day-to-day welfare of the children and the major long-term decisions. So major long-terms about schooling, about religion and so forth. So you are entitled to find out how the child is progressing in school, the medical records and so forth. So what we normally do at Freedmen's is that we would write that into any parenting order that we get for you, to ensure that you can show that order to the school and get the records. The same with the medical records as well.
Okay. Before, we were talking about seriousness, or assessing seriousness of breach of orders. If it was written into the parenting orders that, for instance, one parent should have access to school records, academic records, that sort of thing, and they're deliberately withheld, is that a serious matter or not really serious? No. How do you go about rectifying that situation?
So it's not really a serious breach. Mm. So, I mean, the first protocol is to go to the school. You don't necessarily need to wait for your other partner to give you access to these documents, because that's why we write it in, because the school can just give it to you and then provide you with the details that you require.
Okay, and we'll come back to that one. To Jason in Cottesloe. Hi, Jason.
Good afternoon. I've got a question. I've got joint parental responsibility through some court orders with my ex-wife. She's subsequently moved internationally with my children. And my question is although the orders have legal relevance with Geneva-agreed countries, so therefore the UK where she resides, how difficult is it to me to really enforce those orders and ensure that what has been agreed here in Perth actually occurs internationally as well?
Good question, Jason. Portia? Yeah.
I would recommend that you contact the central authority here in Australia, and you bring your concerns to them, because it sounds as if, I don't know if you gave her permission to go internationally and she decided not to come back, because they would be able to actually organise with that country to either bring her back into Australia or to actually register your parenting orders over there in that country. But you need to contact the central authority, because there's usually more to it than what you've just said.
Jason, did you give your consent for your ex-wife to travel overseas?
Well, what it is she's actually via an international relocation. I didn't agree with the orders, but I didn't oppose them, if that makes any sense. So what's actually occurred is she's taken the children to the UK. And my question revolves around just some of the parts of the orders. For instance, for example, one of the orders is about her paying for flights for the children to obviously come and visit their father and their family in Australia. Mm. Now, if she determines or suggests, no, I'm not going to do that for any reason, is there any really legal fallback?
Okay, so...
So again, as I've said, the central authority is the board to contact, because yes, your orders can be registered in that country, especially because it's the UK and we're really connected to them. You can organise for your orders to be registered with the courts in the UK.
Okay.
No,
go on, Jason. Sorry to interrupt.
All I was going to say, absolutely, that is a step that she should have taken. I don't believe it's been done, but I do believe it will be done. As you can imagine, obviously, I just have a concern about having zero control the other side of the world of my children.
But Jason can register the parenting orders.
Yes, almost
certainly. Jason, you can as well.
Yeah, the orders are registered here. Sorry for any, if there was an error there on my behalf. But it is her duty, I understand, through the court, the family court of Western Australia, to register them in the UK.
Well, I'm not sure. Okay, I haven't read the order, so I'm not sure what the orders have specifically stated. But in the same light as we've just stated to you, you can also register them.
Okay, Jason, you might want to investigate that. And I think you we're assuming here that you might be able to register them as well in another jurisdiction as part of the parenting orders. So that's what I'd investigate if I was you. Thank you very much for your call, Jason, and all the best. Portia, thank you. Always enjoyable. Thanks for your time. That's Portia from Portia Genasi from Freeburn Lurie Singh and D'Angelo talking about family law. Thank you to everyone who called.